Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
And welcome. I'm Brett Winterbull. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. A brand new week of broadcasting underway, and we'll cover everything throughout the course of the next few hours. But I want to jump in on this right out of the box. We have been lied to by allegedly responsible media companies that are supposed to give us information, and we've been lied to. I mean, we've been lied to for a very long time, but specifically over the course of the last 5 years, with the Russia collusion hoax, with the lies about the border and the lies about kids in cages and the lies associated with that, the notion that everybody in America is a racist, everybody in America is an insurrectionist, everybody in America is a rotten group of humans. I came to a conclusion over the weekend, and it really is about hard truths. And the hard truth is, I just don't feel any attraction to hearing anything that's been said or being said on CNN and frankly on MSNBC, and to be totally honest with you, for a large chunk of what's on the Fox News channel. We have got to do a better job of sourcing out and running down the fiction and watching what took place in these last 24 hours, this attack in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The rhetoric, and we don't know what the motivations are, and we won't know what the motivations are until there's a trial and until we hear testimony. But the rhetoric coming out of CNN and MSNBC and from this White House and from this president and from members of his administration and from his vice president, I think is absolutely atrocious. We no longer are living in a nation with a free and open press. We are looking at, as Rush would point out, this is TASS, this is Pravda. This is TASS, this is Pravda. This is not what we need. And in this day and age, with the ability to source different pieces of information, to do the research yourself, to go all down those roads, you shouldn't be listening to any of these television news anchors and buying anything that they are saying. You just shouldn't. I'm not. I'm refusing. I'm moving into a post prepackaged world. And in fact, I'm going to make a bit of a promise to you. I'm going to see to it that our consumption of the propaganda and the garbage that is out there in the popular press is going to be reduced. And we have to do this because I don't trust Mark Zuckerberg. I don't trust Jeff Zucker. I don't trust Jack Dorsey. I don't trust George Stephanopoulos. I feel like on a consistent basis, what you get over on the FNC is prepackaged pablum, not worthy of people who are trying to make their way in a world that is incredibly complicated, incredibly dangerous, and with stakes that have never been higher. This is why they hate talk radio. This is why they hate independent thought. This is why they want to come after you. They want to come after me. They want to shut us down because they're afraid that we can source our own information. I don't need to know what Jim Acosta thinks about anything. I don't need to know what Chris Cuomo thinks about anything. I don't need to know what Dana Bash, Jake Tapper, Chuck Todd, the morning shows. I don't need to know what they think. What I need to know is what happened overnight and what it looks like is going to happen moving forward here down the road. In the last 10 days, I have spent a lot more time consuming original sourced material, consuming the business channels consuming, and I understand the business channels have their own propaganda as well, but the numbers are numbers, and you can look at stuff and you can understand how this stuff works. I do not want to have my anger stoked by a 25-year-old production assistant sitting at the Fox News Channel, sitting at MSNBC, sitting at CNN, sitting at ABC, NBC, or CBS. These are not people that have any experience in the world. And remember I told you last week when I was talking to the college kids, you know, I had a student say to me that I have privilege because I can separate my politics from my life on a daily basis and that all politics has to be life and death. That is incorrect. Policy is policy. Passion is passion. And what you're seeing from these irresponsible anchors on MSNBC in the last 72 hours with what they're saying about Rittenhouse being a white supremacist, despite the fact that the word is out that he's going to start suing these organizations, they don't care. They just want to do slander. Same with CNN. They just want to do slander. And the fact of the matter is, we don't know totally what was responsible for what happened in Waukesha on a Sunday early evening. Was that person or these people, were they motivated by what they heard and saw, the rhetoric in the street? I mean, I'm sorry. I've talked about this before. Joe Scarborough, there was a rumor going around that he killed his intern. Now, I don't believe that rumor, but it was being pushed. At one point, Donald Trump was pushing it. People in talk radio, little chatter machines were talking about it. He should know better what it's like to be falsely accused of something, and yet he turned around and every single day for the last 15, 20 days said Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. So what does that do in terms of stoking the fire? Well, it's slanderous. It's not provably true. They better be able to prove that. They don't want to. They just want the allegation to be out there. And now you have, essentially and effectively, now you have the White House going along with that same sort of narrative that, well, you know, justice wasn't served. This is the courts, but justice wasn't served. And the strong implication being that Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. I don't know Rittenhouse, so I can't judge as to whether or not he's a white supremacist or not, but I have not seen evidence that he is. Sorry, I haven't. So the hard truth of today, is pretty basic. I'm just not going to play their ball game on their muddy field, according to their terms. I'm just not going to do that. Now, if you want to hear endless sound clips of idiots on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, you know, opining on different things where you know full well you're smarter than them anyways, but they're just going to say, you know, whatever the chuckle headline of the day is or the hot take, I think we have to go a little deeper. I think we have to go a little deeper because we have kids, we have our own children, we have our own future to think about. And I'm just not at all interested in listening to, as I put it all the time, you go into any room with 100 people, 40% are nuts. They're crazy. And I just don't feel like listening to the crazies anymore. So, you know, I'm going to filter out my own information. I'm going to get my own information in my own way. I am just not interested in these programmatic takes. What happened in Waukesha was horrible. And anybody that went onto social media and began trolling the people of Waukesha or Wisconsin, they deserve all the derision that you can muster up to send their way. Because that was an unfair and ugly allegation to make. And I think it's wrong. Now, you may disagree, and that's totally cool, and we can do that. That's what this program is for.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So no doubt you've been following very closely this horrible story out of Waukesha, Wisconsin, and so tragic, so horrible. And again, in these last 25, 30 minutes, we're getting much more information, aren't we, about this perpetrator. Oh, there was a knife fight. He was involved in some kind of a knife fight. This guy sounds like a one-man crime wave. Apparently, what he was doing was he got into a domestic dispute with a person in his life. I'm assuming it's a wife or a girlfriend. And the cops went to go respond. They were reporting in just the last half hour, when the cops showed up to take her statement, she had tire tracks on her pants from the car, which, I mean, I read that as ran her over, I think, fair to say. This guy's like a one-man crime wave. And so what were you hearing last night? Well, maybe he was involved. It may have been involved in an incident, in a knife fight, and was trying to get away. Now, I don't know what his ideological motivation is. He may not have any ideological motivation, but just to re-underscore what I said in that opening comment, okay, I don't believe anything that comes out of MSNBC or CNN anymore, because they have lied for 5 years. And much more than that, but really the last 5 years with the Steele dossier, and they have lied about this Rittenhouse thing. They don't tell the truth. They are going to be sued by Rittenhouse. His lawyers have made that clear. And you're going to see they're going to rack up tabs. So you have to be a lot more focused on what it is that you're going to believe. They have a saying, the folks in the military have to say, right? The first three reports are always erroneous when it comes to battle. And it's the fog. And what's terrible is you've got actual news anchors and pundits on those channels that are purposely deceiving and lying. Provably so. They're not going to be held to account. So don't sit back and say, oh, I can't wait till they get in trouble. They're not going to get in trouble. You mess up, you move up, as long as you're towing the line. Now, somebody explain to me how it is this guy, with a rap sheet as long as your arm, was let out of jail on cash bail for $1,000 by a guy named Chisholm, Jim Chisholm, who is the DA, a Soros DA. By the way, we ought to prohibit the running for office of anybody connected to George Soros as a district attorney, because clearly in every city and every community where this guy sponsors DAs, crime goes through the roof. It goes through the roof. It doesn't matter where it is. Freak show George Gascon over in L.A., Chesa Boudin, the nephew of Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. He's up in San Francisco cutting people free every 30 seconds. Kim Fox in Chicago, the Soros DA who's running the operation in St. Louis. Chisholm here in Milwaukee. What the heck is this? I'll tell you this. This guy Chisholm is so bad. I'll take a square glasses, spike hair, failed DA, Biggins. Whatever his name was, Biggins, Big Ones. What's his name? Big Ones, right? That was the guy who blew the case last week in Kenosha. I'll take him in that job. It's disgusting. Rick, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, Rick?
Hey, Brent. I do listen to your show. I kind of get, you educate me. I probably listen to 70, you know, agree with 75%, but every so often I'll hear like a Tucker Carlson thing. And I watch it occasionally. I can't watch Hannity because of, I just call him a super patriot. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he basically, the world works that way. But the bottom line is Tucker Carlson should be countered by conservative radio sometimes because he's extreme. And the left is extreme. I hate the left. But somehow I just was looking at balance sometimes. Mm-hmm. and how you might get people to listen to you better that are, mm-hmm, kind of like in the middle.
Yeah, I do want better people listening to my show. I mean, the people that I have that are deplorables are awesome. Look, here's the thing. Why do you watch Tucker Carlson if you don't like him?
I wanted to see who he was for a while.
Okay, so do you continue to watch him?
No.
Okay, so then you've inoculated yourself to Tucker Carlson. I mean, right? Because it's all you can do. You're going to talk to people in your life who are going to say, well, I can't stand chocolate ice cream, or I only eat strawberry ice cream. And that has no bearing on you. What Tucker Carlson talks about on his programs has no bearing on what I'm doing on my program. And I talk about stuff that's a lot more interesting, I think, than what Tucker Carlson talks about by and large.
Oh, yeah. Every day of the week. It just, to me, it's just the
But there's a market for it. I mean, people want to watch what he's doing. I watched the Patriots purge. I thought it was interesting. I watched a terrific interview that he just did with Vince Colonnese, which I thought was absolutely stellar. And can't recommend. What's that?
Who is Vince?
Vince Colonnese is the editorial director at the Daily Caller. He's also a talk show host in Washington D.C. But he's got an incredible background and story and a great personal story. And it was absolutely worth every moment of that conversation. But, you know, look, I don't do my show to talk about other on-air personalities unless they're lying. Like, Sean's got a market. So does Alex Jones. So does, you know, just get on the list. A lot of people have shows. They do what they do. I do what I do. But I'm not going to go on the air. I'm not going to do the old stupid I miss Howard Stern thing, right? Where I'm going to go on the air and be like, oh, Tucker Carlson's a real blah, blah, blah. No, if he starts lying like Joe Scarborough does over on MSNBC and Jim Acosta does on CNN, then I'm going to call him out. But by and large, I'm not doing the Tucker thing.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Sorry. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. So as we take a look around at some of the big stories, I will go back out on the phone. Stay there, please. I promise. I'm not going to make you wait forever. I'm aware that it's cold outside and lots of stuff that is happening. Later on in the program, the beginning of the next hour, Joel Pollack is going to come by. We're going to talk about this endless looting that is happening everywhere. Also, Brett Jensen's got just a dynamite story that you are going to want to hear. And I mean, it's a fantastic story. He'll join us at 5:05. Did you know that the Ghislaine Maxwell trial is now underway? Have you seen this? This is now underway. I mean, I know we did a lot of Rittenhouse last week, a lot of other stories, but the Ghislaine Maxwell is happening. Doomed by her little black book, U.S. prosecutors think Ghislaine Maxwell's list of contacts, including names of her victims, will provide compelling evidence of guilt as six of her siblings are expected to support her in court. She faces more than 80 years in jail if convicted on all charges. And they are saying that she's got a 97-page directory that is very similar to Epstein's black book. It was taken from Epstein's Palm Beach mansion, dubbed the Pleasure Palace, by former butler Alfredo Rodriguez, who tried to sell it for $50,000 in 2009. Court papers say it has contact information for victims who interacted with the defendant during the relevant time period and is compelling evidence of her guilt. It essentially documents all the stuff that she was up to with these victims, these young girls and women, and has basically all the goods. It's the nexus of all this information. From 94 to 2004, she allegedly facilitated and contributed to the abuse of children by her ex-boyfriend, Jeffrey Epstein. The youngest alleged victim was just 14 at the time that she claims she was assaulted by Maxwell. Four women, one British, are listed in the indictment, although only American Annie Farmer has waived her anonymity. She claims Maxwell posed as a big sister figure before molesting her at Epstein's New Mexico ranch in 1996. She called Maxwell a sexual predator who has never shown any remorse. So this trial is now underway, and people are starting to say, well, what are we going to find out from this trial, and what is going to be covered up as a result of this trial? We'll continue to monitor that. Jim is up next. Jim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Oh, my God, what an act of fall. Yes, how are you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Good to be back on the air.
Yes.
Oh, that is gut-wrenching to hear that. I hope you had a good weekend. I'm sure you have spent the weekend trying to find out what your teenager is doing to his truck and trying to stop him.
Yes. All right, I'm gonna put you on. You know what, Jim? I'm gonna put you on hold. Let you reset because I feel like we've literally walked right into a crossbar of some sort. So let me put you on hold there. Maybe we can get refocused. Glenn, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have sympathy, obviously, for the people that were killed in Wisconsin.
Indeed.
But every day there's 100 people killed on the highway. Mm-hmm. So there's 95 tragic stories out there that are just as meaningful to those people as what happened in Wisconsin. And apparently during the COVID, it has increased the number of people being killed on the highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that is certainly a tragedy. That is certainly a tragedy out there on the highway. I think the differentiation between what it is that happened in Waukesha yesterday and the highway is that this was a deliberate act. No doubt there are probably deliberate instances of people causing accidents out there on the highway. But this was somebody who decided to drive through the barrier. Let's just reset this now if we can here, okay? Drive through the barrier. Speed into a crowd and mow people down. I have endless sympathy for people who lose their lives on the highway, without a doubt. This was something akin to a mass attack, is really what I would call it. I would call it a mass attack. I would really put it in league with the stuff that we've seen in Nice, the stuff that we have seen in other European capitals, where jihadists take vehicles and try to mow people down. And it's the idea that when you listen to the list of these victims who lost their lives, these are among the most innocent possible people. We're talking about an 81-year-old woman, a 71-year-old woman, an 80-plus-year-old man. These were women who were out performing as the dancing grannies. These were color guard girls and band kids who are out there putting on a show. There is a chilling video of this truck speeding, and my God, he doesn't come but within 18 inches of a toddler that just happens to be standing and dancing with the music, looking at her parents. This is such a horrifying and shocking thing that I think we can have enough outrage. And I get it. This is a phenomenon that does exist in talk radio. And what will happen is we'll talk about a topic and somebody will say, but that's not a real topic. This is a real topic. Well, we can establish that these are all real important topics. But this sort of thing happening in Waukesha shocks the senses. And I'm assuming you'd be on board with that because of the time of year this represents and the ugliness, the profound ugliness that we watched take place with a pure exhibit of an indifference to human suffering.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Let's do this. Let's try this again. Jim, San Diego, welcome to the program. How are you?
Yes, thank you, sir. Yeah, does anybody have any background on that guy in Waukegan, the driver? Is he single? Does he have kids? Or does anyone know what motivated him to?
No, they don't. He has what's described as a troublesome past. Daryl Brooks fled domestic dispute before Waukesha parade horror, was on bail for running over the mom of his baby.
What? He was on bail. He was posted bail after running over the mother of his baby?
Yes. The suspect in the Christmas parade rampage that left five people dead had fled a domestic dispute moments before the horror crash and had been bailed out just days before the frenzied attack. He's a rapper, Daryl Brooks, age 39, who performs under the name Math Boy Fly, is facing five charges of intentional homicide. They note in this piece, they confirmed on Monday Brooks was being questioned in relation to the rampage in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which injured 48, including 18 children. He'd been accused of running over the mother of his child in early November before making bail. She had tire tracks on her leg from when he ran her over, allegedly ran her over. I mean, I imagine you probably could get tire tracks on your leg from a number of activities.
Yeah, I guarantee you this person self-medicates somehow. He's involved with drugs that his thought process is completely askew.
Well, and look, this is the presumption is innocence. Is innocence here, okay? I mean, I guess, you know, everybody deserves the presumption of innocence. Additional court records show Brooks was facing a number of criminal charges in the run-up to what they call the rampage. In one case, filed November 5th, he was charged with resisting or obstructing an officer, reckless homicide, disorderly conduct, bail jumping, and battery. He was ordered not to have contact with the female victim, and records show that he posted a $1,000 bond last Friday.
Yeah. Just like Coach says, you know, it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it. That's the only thing I can say.
Well, it's really all you can control in your life is how you react to things. Now, the part of the story that I'm puzzled by is the fact that the truck that he drives, allegedly, and runs people over with, allegedly, is parked in a driveway, but it's not parked like you would think it would be parked. It's backed into a driveway. So that when whoever found the truck looks at the truck, you can see it's clearly been involved in a number of accidents in the front of the truck. I mean, it's
so he's parking it in a manner so that it can be displayed. You think?
It's backed into a parking space. Yes, I mean the front end damage is abundantly visible.
Well, this man feels like this is the only power he has in life.
Here's the problem. Yeah, here's the problem, and I do believe this is the case. I believe this pandemic, this lockdown procedure, this control procedure, all the stuff that we saw take place has had, I think, the practical impact of driving millions of people to madness, to actual madness. When you think about what people were doing during the lockdowns, staying in, not socializing, churches were closed, people were drinking way more. I mean, people were drinking like fish during the lockdowns, okay? Drinking way more, isolating way more, being told that they didn't have to go to work, the kids don't have to go to school. It really is in a lot of ways, and I'm not blaming this guy's evil acts on circumstances, but this doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's a reason why there was so much violence in 2020. Some of it was people that were like, you know, thrill kill cult type people, right? They want to go out and they want to do thrilling stuff and break stuff and steal stuff and all that. I get that. But there's also, you know, a darker force at play here. I'm convinced of it. Maybe you disagree, not you, Jim, but the audience, maybe you disagree. But it is pretty clear that there is a dark energy, a dark force that took root on this planet in the last year and a half. And I mean evil in a way that we hadn't seen in a very long time, at least not in a mass gathering sort of way. And I think that's terrible. I think it's terrible. When you think about what happened with the lockdown of the schools, and we think about the damage that has been done to the kids, because remember, as far as the teachers' unions were concerned, where's Randy Weingarten? When's the last time you saw her appear anywhere on television and make a speech or have comments on a Sunday show? Essentially, the teachers' unions were telling society that teachers were not essential personnel because the schools could be shut down, right? Walmart was open. Lowe's, Home Depot are open. Supermarkets are open. Schools closed. Well, Brett, that's not true because it was virtual. The schools were closed. There was no way to monitor, to grade, to test. The schools were effectively closed for all intents and purposes. And what that does is you now take normalcy and you turn it on its head because the message is, well, teachers, school, education, not essential. We can turn that off. We can shut it down. Some of these kids were out of physical school for 2 years. You know, end of 2019, all of 2020. Then you get into 2021. You try to bring them back. This is terrible. The impact on this generation of people is horrible. It's horrible. And now what do you have? What do you see every 2 minutes advertised on TV right now? What are you seeing? The stupid Meta thing where we're all going to become avatars and icons. So that's great. What we need to do with a society that's clearly plagued by an inability to behave itself is to isolate even more. That's even, you know, oh, you're on heroin? Hold on, let's just have the heroin delivered right to your door in a brick. You can get whatever you need. Fentanyl? Sure, we'll ship it right to you. And you can take it in the virtual world, too. This is really bad, because as long as you get people separated, when you get people separated from interacting with each other, it's important to have civic engagement. It's important to have socially engaged things like this parade yesterday, right? Because what that does is it shows you that you're part of a bigger thing. You're part of a community, okay? But when you want to sit in your basement and get high all day or get drunk all day or do drugs or plot weird schemey things or whatever you're doing, you don't have that community kind of break on you. Where you're like, you know what, I probably shouldn't go out there and drive over 50 kids and old people at a parade. I probably shouldn't do that, but I have nothing stopping me from doing that. So I'm going to drive through the plastic police barricades and mow everybody down. And there's not going to be any consequence, but I'm going to be internet famous. So what do you think is going to happen now with all this Meta garbage? Oh, you don't have to leave home, man. You can just create an avatar and you can go and you can do this and you can do that and everything is cool. I mean, have you ever in your life seen a time when there was more theft happening than right now? We're going to talk about this looting and rioting and theft at stores in San Francisco and LA and other places. We're going to talk about this. This is not normal. This is not normal. Plenty more straight ahead. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110-993.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at kisqali.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
WBT. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show. Hour number two now underway. 704-570-1110 is the phone number to be a part of our discussion. Looking at all the stuff that is happening out there. In just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Joel Pollack from Breitbart, and he's got a story to share. And it's something that's not surprising, but it's disappointing, I think, in a big way, and it's all of this crime that is going on with the looting and the theft and you name it, it's disgraceful. The future is here and it'll be filled with endless looting, rioting, and civil unrest. That's a piece written by Michael Snyder over at truthbasedmedia.com. Our civilization is crumbling right in front of our eyes. We've become accustomed to soaring murder rates, mass shootings, extreme degeneracy throughout the entire entertainment industry, violent rioting in our streets, and severe corruption at all levels of government. To a certain extent, a lot of these things seem normal to many of us at this point, but the truth is, what we're experiencing is not even close to normal. We're literally watching our entire society slowly but surely go down the tubes, and it's heartbreaking to watch. If you think I'm being overly dramatic, he writes, just consider what happened in Northern California on Saturday night. A mob of more than 80 thieves wearing ski masks and armed with crowbars suddenly descending upon a Nordstrom store. They ransacked the entire place in just minutes. More than 80 people stormed and robbed a Nordstrom in California on Saturday night, according to a police report from the Walnut Creek Police Department. The robbery was over within minutes as the thieves arrived armed with crowbars, wearing ski masks, and they streamed out of the Nordstrom into dozens of cars lining the block. At least 25 cars, all loaded with this loot. One witness said, I probably saw between 50 and 80 people in ski masks with crowbars. They were a mob of people. The police were flying in. It was like a scene out of a movie. It was insane. And this is what we're going to end up talking with Joel Pollack about. The idea that the Louis Vuitton store in San Francisco was also hit by organized looters. Now, what's shocking about this is that in some parts of America, looting has become a way of life. A way of life. In Portland, approximately 150 rioters started fires and smashed things up following the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. At one point, about a dozen police officers were forced back into a garage by an extremely unruly mob. The mob actually got the cops to retreat. Video captured the moment that protesters in Portland cornered police in a garage during riots over the Rittenhouse verdict. The footage shows a crowd of angry protesters aggressively yelling at the police dressed in full riot gear. The group of nearly a dozen officers were seen backing up into a garage. The door of the garage slowly closes as the protesters continue to confront the police, with one demonstrator even trying to push open the garage door so they could get at the cops. The future is here, this writer notes. The chaos in our streets is only going to be getting more intense. On the other side of the globe, rioting of a completely different nature is happening. As authoritarian measures are becoming increasingly extreme, vast numbers of people are standing up and saying, enough is enough. Violent protests are sweeping Europe. Demonstrators angry about new measures are gathering in Austria, Croatia, Italy, Northern Ireland, the French territory of Guadeloupe, and the Netherlands to protest these lockdown moves. In Belgium, 40,000 protesters descended upon the capital. The police fired water cannons and tear gas to try to control the crowds. Some protesters were seen throwing projectiles at riot police, and in response, officers fired the water cannons and tear gas back at the group. Next door in the Netherlands, the violence was even worse. At one point, police officers actually opened fire on one group of rampaging rioters. By imposing harsh authoritarian measures during the pandemic, the governments of Europe and elsewhere are losing their legitimacy. This is what we were talking about. They are responding to protests with heavy violence that will also result in a loss of legitimacy. Part of living in a civilized society is being able to trust the government to do the right thing most of the time. But unfortunately, that's not the case right now. We've gotten to a point where large numbers of people in industrialized nations all over the globe do not trust their own governments. And once that trust erodes far enough, it may get to a point where entire countries become virtually ungovernable. It's a frightening new reality. 704-570-1110. Pete is up first. Hey, Pete, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett. How are you?
I'm well.
Hey, I disagree a little bit. I think I'm going to go back to the stores being robbed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The deal is, Brett, if you don't punish people for robbing stores, guess what they do?
Yeah, they rob more.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, now what I'm seeing is a backlash against all that, you know, and I think you're seeing the poll numbers as far as, you know, Republicans have a great opportunity. Now, that being said, the Republicans of old don't have a great opportunity, all right? The populist wing of the Republican Party has a great opportunity. It's not the Tom Tillises and Richard Burrs that are the future of this party. It's the Mark Richardsons are the future of this party. So you go to Europe, you say, Jesus, you know, it's falling apart and people don't respect the government anymore. No, they're not worthy of respect right now. But I think people want to be governed. They just want to be governed reasonably, or they do have some trust in their government. It's not the end of the republic, you know. Sometimes you got to get real bad to recover. And I think that's where we're at. So I guess I'm not as despondent as you may be, or certainly Pollock is. I mean, I can understand his point of view, but I think we're bottoming out is what I think is happening.
Okay, good call. I appreciate it.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Our number 704-570-1110. Happy to welcome back to the program somebody whose work I always admire, and I'm always thrilled to have the chance to catch up with him. You know him from his terrific work over at Breitbart. He is Joel Pollack, and he joins us now. Joel, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Hello to everyone in North Carolina.
It is good to be here in a free state, and the door is always open for you to come and see us. You know what I'm saying, my friend?
You live next to the Pacific Ocean? Because that's my requirement for
no,
any state I live in.
No, but we're only a couple hours from the Atlantic. But hold on a second. Hold on a second. At some point, they may loot the Pacific Ocean from you guys. I mean, this is crazy. What is going on? And is it just a San Francisco thing? Is it a West Coast thing? Is it a national crisis? What are we looking at here with these insane looting robberies that are happening most recently, obviously, in San Francisco?
So this is a national problem because there was a similar looting in Chicago over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're calling these events are flash mob lootings or mass lootings. So they're organized on social media. That's the challenge. They are not easily stoppable because law enforcement isn't watching everything happening on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and that sort of thing. And so you have these young people, part of gangs perhaps, organizing these massive convoys of cars. We saw a lot of this during the Black Lives Matter riots in 2020 when there were big convoys going up to Michigan Avenue, which is the central shopping district. Mm-hmm. In Chicago, and that's why they put the National Guard there. Once that was defended, then the flash mobs started going through other parts of the city, so local communities complained about that all the ritzy stores downtown were getting the attention. But the method is the same. You have a convoy of vehicles. They arrive at once at a predetermined time. They block traffic, and they split as soon as they have enough goods. And they drive off in different directions, making it much harder for police to follow them. The police will get one or two, but the other get away.
Mm-hmm. Joel Pollack joining us. You know him from his great work. He's a senior editor at large at Breitbart News, host of Breitbart News Sunday on Sirius XM Patriot on Sunday evenings from 7 to 10. And, of course, his tremendous book, Red November, telling the story of the 2020 Democratic presidential primary from a conservative perspective. When you look at this and what is happening here, people are pointing to, obviously, the laws that were changed in California to basically elevate felonious theft to $950. Everything under $950 is a misdemeanor. You get a desk appearance ticket. They've emptied the jails. There isn't a law enforcement sort of focus going on in that state with people like Gascon and Chesa Boudin. But this represents a much bigger national mania. You talk about the challenge of this stuff getting put together on, say, social media. Are we talking like Facebook, Twitter, or are we talking like Telegram, WhatsApp? I mean, what are we looking at here?
We don't know. It could be anything. It could be Signal. It could be anything. I don't want to single out any particular social media server, but we know that you can't organize this kind of thing unless you have those telecommunications. That's why.
Am I losing you here? Joel, you there, Joel? I think we lost him. I think we lost you a little bit here. Let's put him back on hold. Oh, we lost him. All right, we're going to dial you back up. We'll dial Joel Pollack back up here in a second. Because one of the things that I'm wondering about with the way this is all happening is when we look at this story, the way this story is playing out right now, you're not hearing about arrests. You're not hearing about people getting picked up, taken into custody, any of that sort of stuff. And if they are, they're grabbing like one or two people, like he said. It's not a large number of people. I'm also curious to know if we know where these folks are coming from. Are these folks who are San Franciscans and Angelenos, or are they coming in from other communities? Because some of these places that are getting hit, like Walnut Creek, are high-end communities. These are places that. So, Joel, I was just asking. Good to get you back. These places that are being targeted, can we know where these folks are coming from? Are they coming in from Oakland? Are they coming in from San Francisco or L.A.? Are they traveling? Do we know anything from anybody who's been arrested?
We don't know yet. It seemed to be local people last year. It wasn't like it was a traveling band of people. But there seems to be massive, and it just gets repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to stop this, at least.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, Joel. I gotta. It's damn. This is very frustrating. In 2021, we should have phones at work. All right. Unfortunately, Josh, please extend our regrets to Joel. Let him know that the connection is just atrocious. I think the looters have stolen the connection. I think the looters have actually taken the 5G and they've left him with 3G or 2G, which is really bad. I mean, that's like your Kyocera phone back in the day. The Kyocera, the clamshell. I had a singular flip phone once upon a time with the plastic antenna. Right about the same time that who was driving that singular car? Was that Robbie Gordon? I think it might have been Robbie Gordon driving that car back then. You know who would know that is Boomer. Yeah. Boomer would recall that. But this is a lawlessness that is just absolutely shocking. Here, let's try Rebecca. Rebecca, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Rebecca?
Hello?
Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a comment about the school system, the public schools.
Sure.
And COVID.
Yes.
I'm a teacher in Georgia. I happen to be up here in South Carolina, and I caught your show.
Oh, cool.
And I will tell you that the children, the kids, it has been very detrimental to them. I teach middle school, seventh grade. So this year when I got my seventh graders, of course, our county is mandated to wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
We've had parents storm and get arrested at the board meetings because they don't want their children to wear masks. That seems to be of importance to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the lack of skills and what the kids that we've gotten this year in seventh grade, technically it's like they're halfway through fifth grade.
Right.
A lot of them did not come to school last year. We cannot fail anyone. I had a student that showed up twice to Zoom.
Wow.
And we had to pass him regardless of math and reading and all the other classes. I teach language arts. I teach reading and writing. And they are mandated to pass both math and language arts in Georgia, and or in my specific county. I've been teaching 28 years.
Wow.
And this is, I'm retiring this year.
Yeah.
I cannot physically. I've had COVID twice.
Oh,
I was bedridden for 3 weeks.
Oh.
It is a serious situation in the education system. I don't know how they're going to recover. I just don't.
Yeah, this is a horrible, horrible thing that is happening here, Rebecca, and I'm hearing it from so many teachers. I wish.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I had a better remedy. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Wetterville Show. We got Joel Pollack back on the line. I appreciate your patience, Joel. Technology is just crazy and wacky, especially this time of year. Let me just kind of spin it back to what we were talking about. You have these cities that are being experiencing looting, right? San Francisco comes to mind. But you've also got these outlying communities, Mill Valley, Walnut Creek, places like that, that may or may not be as constrained with their law enforcement efforts like you see in the cities like San Francisco or L.A. Is there any difference between the way these laws are being enforced and the aggressiveness with which they're taking on looters?
Well, I think if they try this sort of thing in the suburbs, they'll find that homeowners, even in the San Francisco Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
have a significant number of firearms among them. The cities tend to have very strict gun control laws, but
right.
in the suburbs, even in California, the laws tend to be more permissive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they start trying to go after private residences, maybe even some private businesses,
mm-hmm.
there are going to be confrontations, and I think that's when this will stop. There's already an article, we have it up at Breitbart today, about how ordinary residents of San Francisco are investing in just about anything they can for self-defense.
Right.
Guns are not often an option, both because they're harder to get and harder to keep in a blue, liberal, democratic city, and also because politically a lot of these people are Democrats and they don't want to own a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying other things, self-defense courses, martial arts, whatever it is. But there is a growing sense that with this defund the police movement still continuing, I mean, Seattle is holding a vote today at some point on whether to continue defunding the police. That momentum hasn't stopped on the far left. In fact, it's just continued as if the election never even happened earlier this month. I mean, Seattle elected a Republican city attorney, but they're still voting on defunding the police. I think you're seeing a panic among liberal residents of these cities, and a lot of them are moving out to places where they can better defend themselves. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal today about how a lot of the people who are leaving San Francisco are not actually leaving California altogether. A lot of them are moving to the far suburbs of L.A. They're going to Southern California to an area called the Inland Empire, which is further out from the city, but is really more like rural red state America in terms of its culture. And these are places where people have a lot more security and where they don't have to run into all kinds of other urban problems, homelessness, that sort of thing. These issues are becoming a major, major problem. So you know, this is something I think that will run out of steam once these movements, these mass looting efforts start to go to the suburbs. But it is going to continue to be a problem as long as these Democrats continue to pursue their policies.
And as you look at this now, in the wake of Rittenhouse and obviously in the wake of horrible what happened in Waukesha yesterday, there is going to be a cost, I think, obviously, especially for the Democrats because they're regarded as soft on crime. Are we revisiting like the Tea Party moment back in 2010, Joel, in terms of that energy being built up, but rather than it being targeted at Obamacare back in 2009, 2010, it's law and order, it's safety, it's security, it's school districts, it's all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and for that reason, it's very different. I mean, this isn't a Tea Party movement in the sense that it's not being driven by conservative ideology.
Right.
This is being driven by ordinary people who may not even be conservatives or Republicans at all.
It's visceral.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Who are just absolutely fed up with what they're seeing, and they want to do something about it. So it's almost outside of politics. Mm-hmm. It's just a general sense that what's happening right now is unsustainable, and people want no part of it. And that's what you're seeing out there.
Yeah. Great stuff. Joel, I appreciate your patience. I'm so happy we got to connect and have a little bit of a conversation about this. And I think it's something we should talk about, you know, moving forward here, because that is the most granular thing you and I both know is safety, security, the ability to walk down the street and go to a store.
Right.
I mean, that it doesn't get much more granular than that. I mean, that's
right.
About it.
Right.
So. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming by. Always enjoy our conversations. Joel Pollack's at Breitbart.com. Listen to his coverage. Read his stuff. He's one of the smartest people I've come across. And we wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Thank you very much. You too.
Take care. That's Joel Pollack. Your reactions as well, straight ahead, 704-570-1110. You know, when I start to lay out in front of me what I think is the challenges that we're facing in this time in this country, the ability to go down the street and be safe, the ability to be in your house and not have gunfire come into it, the ability to know that your kids are going to be safe at school, that you're not going to have a mass gang fight breakout and guns are going to fall on the floor. Those are things, those shouldn't even be expectations. They ought to just be baked into the cake. But something is eroding that. And I know we had a call from, I think it was Peter in the beginning of the hour, who said, you know, things are going to bottom out and then they just got to get better and that's just how it's going to be. All is not lost. Well, no, all is not lost. But, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Rome wasn't destroyed in a day. And with every downtick of expectation in terms of human behavior, you lose a little something of our identity as people in this constitutional republic, in this free republic, regardless of politics. And that is a tremendous mistake. Because just like falling approval numbers don't ever go back up. Just like prices that go up don't ever really come back down. what you lose in a society that has respect for private property and respect for commerce and respect for each other, when you lose that, it's impossible to get it back. That's my supposition.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
What's yours? I love hot peppers. It's like the best thing ever. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT. We'll talk to Stacy next up. Hey, Stacy, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. I spoke to the gentleman before. And this looting, as you're calling it, I was in retail from the time I graduated college, and it's been going on. People would, you know, come through the front door five or six at a time, grab what they could, and run out. And again, you're giving it a fancy name. Stop giving it a fancy name. They're not looting. They're stealing.
Oh, they are. Without a doubt.
And that's it. And I think in our society, we've decided to come up with excuses and, you know, oh, there are 80 people looting. No, they're stealing.
Yes.
They're thieves. And I think that an area like Walnut Creek is surprised that something like that happened to them. I think a Louis Vuitton store is surprised that something like that happened to them. And I agree with Joel Pollack. You know, people are going to move where they feel that they're safe. My accent, obviously, is a new...
Sure. No, I recognize it. I recognize it.
I have a permit to carry.
Good.
And don't, you know, again, don't come on property that says you're trespassing. Yeah. And I think more and more of these retailers are going to start hiring people who are packing.
Yeah.
And people are going to get shot. And sadly, you know, once enough people get shot and once there are enough Republicans in office and everybody looks around and says, stop feeling sorry for yourself. And get a life and go to work.
Well, here's the thing. So this is like industrial grade theft, like what you're saying is exactly right. They go in with calculators so that they can calculate exactly what they're stealing and keeping it below 950. Because above 950, it's a felony. Okay.
Well, I think that whatever law was passed, I mean, the good things about laws can be changed.
No, they won't, though, because this thing was passed into existence on a referendum. That's how stupid the people of California are. They did it on a referendum. So the citizens voted for this nonsense, and it's a nightmare of a situation. But
well,
what I think,
how many people are moving?
Well, there's that. And here's what needs to happen. See, you just segued into the perfect answer. The answer is to get the hell out of San Francisco and L.A. Take your businesses out. Close your drug stores, your supermarkets, shut down the retail establishments, the coffee shops. If you turn it into a ghost town, then it's over. And guess what? You know the old joke, right? This is why we can't have nice things. Well, this is why we can't have nice things.
Right. But again, I think a lot of people are going to get shot.
No, I don't think. I disagree. There are tons of people that are carrying guns legally and illegally in the state of California, and they're not going to shoot somebody over stuff. They may shoot somebody because they're assaulting somebody or something like that. They're not going to shoot anybody because they know what's going to happen. Antifa's going to show up and burn their house down.
And again, I agree. I mean, because as a retailer, you were taught nothing is worth your life.
Yeah, exactly. But there's also liability.
If they want to get out.
Right. And there's liability. There's liability, too. Okay, so if somebody's working at a drugstore and somebody comes in and steals an armload of drugs and you shoot that person, all right, you know what's going to happen. The drugstore is going to be burned. And that the people's house is going to go get burned. I mean, the fundamental problem is this, okay? What you have is parallel societies that are being constructed in real time where we live. Okay? So you have You have a thieving class of people, and it cuts across the spectrum. It's people from every walk of life and every background you can imagine. This is not an ethnic group or a racial group. These people that are stealing are doing industrial-grade theft, and it's being done so that they can fence the stuff, get the cash, and probably fund violent protests in cities. My guess is because typically this is what terrorist groups do, and I believe Antifa functions as a terrorist organization. That's my thought. That's what I say. And historically, whether it's Hamas or Hezbollah, whether it was the Nazi Party in Germany, whether it was the Communist Party in the pre-Soviet era, these organizations commit acts of crime to raise money to fund revolutions. It's how they do it. You can't go to the bank and say, hey, I need $1 million because we're going to overthrow the government. You have to figure out a way to do it. And that's what this is. This is a parallel. This is a parallel reality. Now, this guy has got good thinking skills here. Tim, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Brett, I want to make sure I got my eyes crossed my T's. But if it's like a BOGO, or I have a coupon, or does this $950 include tax?
No. It's $950 of merch. The tax isn't included in that. It's just $950 for merchandise. If you go to $951, it's a felony. If you keep it at $946, you're gonna get away with a ticket. So okay. Basically, it's like 1.5 iPhones. So what you do is
a flip phone.
So what you do is,
and then I add the plastic antenna.
What you do is you get the three people to come in to take the iPhones. That way you can do three iPhones safely with three people doing the smash and grab.
Brett, this world has turned on its head.
Of course it has. You know why? Because it's California. I mean, that's what it is. You got Gavin Newsom runs the place, and before that, Moonbeam ran the place. Do you understand that I'm old enough to remember 2015, when people were doing caca in the streets, literal caca in the streets. There was a hepatitis outbreak. There was a guy, this is not made up, you can Google this if you think I'm lying. There was a Metallica concert in San Diego. A guy came down from Salt Lake City to see Metallica. The guy stepped in some poo-poo and went back to Salt Lake City, came into physical contact with the poo-poo when he touched his shoe, and he got hepatitis and died. That is how insane that state is. That is how... I haven't been back there in like a year. Maybe more. I don't know. Like a year. I think more than a year. It's insane. It's insane. And they normalize this activity. It's Looney Tunes. Don't be like them. Stay away from them. I'm Brett Whittable, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Whittable Show. Great to be here with you. Happy to be spending this time with you. And I'm happy to welcome back to the program a very good friend of mine, and I know he's a good friend of yours as well. He is Breaking Brett Jensen, Brett_Jensen on Twitter. And he joins us now on the line. Brett Jensen, good to have you back, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Before I dive into the heavy-duty stuff here real quick, I got to get your thought on something. Cam, what did you think of yesterday? Okay. What did you think of yesterday?
Did nothing to win the game, did nothing to lose the game, mm-hmm. which is sort of what the Panthers wanted, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm-hmm. Did he do anything horrible? No, absolutely not. Did he do anything really spectacular? He had that nice touchdown run, which was very nice. But, outside of that play, nothing really spectacular, and that's they want to rely on the defense. They have said, the Panthers believe they have a playoff defense. They think the defense is ready for the playoffs right now, and they're just trying to get the offense to semi-catch up, mm-hmm. or, for lack of a better term, not lose it and let the defense take control and do enough offensively, ball control, score enough points, get your 24 points and let the defense mm-hmm. take care of mm-hmm. the rest. And that's basically what the game plan was yesterday, and the defense just fell apart. Mm-hmm. So it's not Cam didn't do anything to win it, and he didn't do anything mm-hmm. to lose it. Mm-hmm. He did what they wanted.
Well, I think he also brought that spark plug, that energy into that stadium that was just like off the charts. I mean, it was...
Oh, absolutely. But, somebody actually said, to me yesterday, well, it was nice while it lasted.
Oh, come on.
Can't give in yet.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. All right, somebody who's on defense. Ernest Winston. Tell me about this. What's going on?
So I had an exclusive sit-down interview with Ernest Winston this morning. And it was about 25 minutes. And, you know, I specifically went and had been requesting an interview specifically on guns. Specifically. Weapons, safety, sexual assaults.
Yep.
Everything. And, you know, I've been being told from day one, you know, look, he's not going to talk about that. He's not doing interviews on that. He released a statement. He's not going to talk about it. And then he had done other interviews where he had been asked questions about it and he had spoken about it. And so I said, fine, I won't talk about guns, you know, per se, just exclusively guns, I should say.
Right.
I want to talk. Fine. We'll do a State of the Union for CMS. And so literally my very first question was, because the State of the Union, we do that here in Mecklenburg County. We have a Mecklenburg County State of the Union for Mecklenburg County. You know, or, you know, we call it a State of the County address, but where George Dunlap goes. And just like every single president and George Dunlap, they go, the State of the Union is strong. The State of the Union is growing. Whatever it is, they always say within the first couple of minutes about the State of the Union.
Right.
So literally my very first question today was, since this has to be a State of the Union address for CMS interview, Mr. Superintendent, how is the State of the Union for CMS? That was literally the very first question.
And I know we will hear what the answer to that question was at another point, correct?
Correct. Sorry, Brett. Yes, we'll do it tomorrow morning. We're going to do this in increments because we talked everything from weapons to test scores, did a nice deep dive into CRT, you know, his staff, just qualifications, whatever. And so we're going to be releasing this in increments. So people need to know the audio portion surrounding safety and guns will air tomorrow morning from 7 to 8 a.m. I will be in studio with Bo Thompson tomorrow morning from 7 to 8 a.m. As we go over the portions pertaining to safety and guns. And but also simultaneously tomorrow morning on our Facebook page and on our website and even on our Instagram page, we're going to release the video because we recorded the video interview as well. And so that will be released simultaneously tomorrow morning, specifically about the weapons and the guns. On Wednesday, we will do the release of the and discuss in great detail the testing scores, which are extremely low and lower than other surrounding counties, specifically when you compare the black and brown kids of Mecklenburg County to the black and brown kids of the surrounding counties, they're much, much lower here. And so we'll talk about that and like a grab bag of other things that we got into. And then next week we'll get into the CRT.
That'd be the critical race theory?
Critical race theory, or as they call it, culturally relevant teaching.
There we go. See, you got to have the slogan. You get that slogan put in place, you got it all going on. And that's what it is. All right, so tomorrow, 7 to 8. And then you're going to have it up on the on all the streaming platforms with the video. And then next week, we're going to dive a deeper dive into the CRT conversation.
Correct. Yeah, so tomorrow, the weapons and safety. Wednesday, the test scores and another various items. And then on Monday, next Monday, it will be the CRT stuff, all with Bo Thompson. And each day will have its own separate videos being put out there on all our socials.
Great stuff. Brett Jensen, appreciate you making time for us, man. And we'll pick it up tomorrow, my friend.
Anytime, Brett. I appreciate it.
No, you got it. That's Brett Jensen. And here's the thing, and this is important to note, okay? He doesn't pull punches. He asks the tough questions, and he's got the courage of his convictions to ask the tough questions face-to-face. You know, I've known a lot of reporters who do a lot of different things, and many of them are, what's the word I'm thinking? Weasels. Like they don't really go in for the real information. They'll try to, you know, push a little bit, but then they'll go write their things from anonymous sources. Brett Jensen, and in all of my experience with him, he goes right to the source and says, "Hey, what's the deal? Here's the thing. I want to know. Give me the information." And he's relentless. He's relentless. I'll tell you, it's really quite something. 704-570-1110. We're gonna have Bo Thompson come by next. We'll got your phone calls on all that's going on here with Waukesha and a big development out of the Pennsylvania.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Planet Race. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. That is Bo Thompson. He has a show in the morning called the Bo Thompson Morning Show, and he joins us now, as we often do in this time, at this time, in this place. How are you, Bo Thompson?
I'm good. I host the show and sometimes listen.
Yeah, really? Like, do you go back and listen afterwards, or do you listen to it in real time?
No. Sometimes. Everyone. I'll go back and check things out sometimes. But I know people who, and maybe this is you, I don't know. I know people who host shows and never listen back to it, like ever. And I don't know. I think that's probably, in some ways, counterproductive. I think you need to go air check yourself now and then. But I also don't think you need to listen, like, go home and, like, you know, re-listen to the whole thing every day. Because for me, that would be like, I'd be just finishing when it was time for your, you know, hit in the afternoon.
I go home and I have my wife and children. We sit around the table and we listen to my show. We start about 7 o'clock at night. We wrap about 10:30 at night.
You never answer when I try to call you at night.
They bring the kids in on Zoom and we go X's and O it, you know. And I'm like,
yeah, of course.
What do you think Dad did there that was so wrong that the caller hung up on him? You know,
exactly.
It's film session.
That Bo guy who comes on his show in the 5 o'clock hour, that is, he is such a show killer.
Yeah, well, no, that's not true. Not always. Okay. All right, Bo Thompson. I'm going to start with something good and then two kind of ugly things. So here's the good thing. Brett Jensen was just on, and he was telling us that he's going to come on with your show tomorrow between 7 and 8, and he's got some really good stuff that he got from Ernest Winston, who's in charge of CMS schools. Certainly, no doubt, the superintendent has a lot of questions that need to be answered, and it sounds like Brett asked him a bunch of them.
He did, and he's been trying to work this one-on-one out for a while, and I'm glad it's come to fruition. And he had about half an hour with Ernest Winston, and the two sat down and they talked about weapons, they talked about CRT, they talked about the year and just in totality with the shadow of COVID and assessing how things have been handled. So it's a lengthy interview, and you're going to hear parts of it throughout the next week or so. Tomorrow, he's going to join me for the first part of his interview, which focuses on the weapons and the way the number of weapons, of course, 15 that have been found so far that we've chronicled so much here on the station, and the response and getting into the nuts and bolts of that. So he'll be with me for the entire 7 o'clock hour tomorrow to break down we'll hear the interview, and then we'll talk about the interview before and after as well.
Do you think that parents want to have more of these like town hall live sessions with the leadership, or do you think that they just want it to be fixed? Like, what's the priority as far as you can ascertain?
Well, I mean, look. I think there are some people that go to these meetings with good intentions. Mm-hmm. I think some people go to these meetings to grandstand. Mm-hmm. I think some people go to these meetings and don't know quite what they're getting into. Different people go for different reasons. I think I think some parents think that when you listen to some of these meetings, a lot of it's noise because mm-hmm. the same things seem to be said and the same answers seem to be coming back. So one of the things that I know Jensen tried to hammer with his discussions with the superintendent. I haven't heard the interview yet, but I've talked to Brett since he finished it. Mm-hmm. And, I feel like there are a good number of parents out there that think we're hearing the same general reactions to a lot of these recurring events, but not specific actions that are going to be taken. So, I think when you hear a lot of that at some of these town hall meetings that seem to recur, I think parents get frustrated. And I'm sure that some of the officials on the other side get frustrated with the demeanor sometimes, but it underscores the fact that we're at a place where a lot is not right mm-hmm. about how things are happening, and sometimes the road to fixing those is not pleasant.
Let's look at something that was really beyond not pleasant. It was horrible. This Waukesha horror that took place yesterday. We got more information today from law enforcement there in that community. We know that 5 people were killed, 40 injured. It was an intentional striking, as the law enforcement said. What about this surprises you, doesn't surprise you? What's your takeaway on what we've seen happen here?
Well, I mean, since you and I last talked, they've announced a suspect in the name. And, you know, you and I were talking this morning about a lot of the chatter that was out there on social media. When you have a story of this magnitude, obviously you don't want to speculate. You don't want to report things that are unsubstantiated. Mm-hmm. And we're always very, very careful not to do that. However, now that I'm talking to you in the afternoon, the things that you and I were texting about off air that we were hearing,
yep,
a lot of that has ended up coming to fruition as far as, you know, what was unconfirmed this morning. And so what we're hearing about this is certainly unfortunate. We've got a bit of a profile with this suspect, but it will continue to fill out. And, again, I still... It's the act, and then B, the fact that
for sure,
I had Mick Mulvaney on after I talked to you, and, mm-hmm. and again, we're coming down to that idea of, well, yeah, it's unbelievable, but is it really that unbelievable? It's actually you're actually seeing more and more of this kind of thing.
That's really true. It's very true. Chuck Schumer, for his part, put up a tweet this morning. It lasted all of 7 minutes before he realized he probably should take it down. He tweeted out earlier this morning, on this World Day of Remembrance for Road Traffic Victims, we mourn those we've lost. We stand with their families. We recommit to preventing these tragedies. The infrastructure bill we passed provides historic funding to help reshape our streets, make them safer, and save lives. I don't know who's advising that guy, but that's an awfully tone-deaf thing to tweet about while you've got an investigation into what happened in Waukesha. That was not a conventional traffic accident. That was obviously a malicious attack.
Yes, and I mean, infrastructure. I mean, this is a crazed person who drove into a parade route.
Yeah, exactly right.
And this is. I mean, I was talking to Chief Putney today on the show, mm-hmm. and I was asking him about. Of course, now that there's this tragedy, we have all these other parades that are happening mm-hmm. all across the country, mm-hmm. and sure, you know, security will be heightened. And he did tell me about some. You know, barricade type things that are in place in bigger cities like Charlotte, but those types of things are not going to be in place because of some infrastructure bill in smaller towns.
Right.
It's again, it goes back to this is about the guy that was behind the wheel of that
exactly
SUV.
Right.
That's
exactly
what
right.
it's about.
Exactly right. All right. Tomorrow, you got Brett Jensen in there from 7 to 8. Who you got as your co-host tomorrow?
Tuesday morning means Beth Troutman, so she'll be with me from 8 until 10. And, of course, continuing coverage of this awful story that we're talking about right now. But all the other news that you need to start your day. And, again, I'm looking forward to hearing what Brett you know, has done within his sit-down with you were asking me earlier what needs to happen at some of these meetings. I think the discussion that Brett had with, mm-hmm. with the superintendent is going to provide some of the stuff that we want to hear out of some of these meetings. So that'll start just past 7 o'clock tomorrow.
And there may be quite a twist on the crossing of the streams tomorrow morning.
I've heard that. But again, at this point, that's just chatter.
They're going to have to tune in to find out.
That's right.
It could be pretty epic.
It could be. You must tune in to verify.
That's right. Trust but verify. All right, Bo Thompson, you must not break me. I must not break you. Have a wonderful night, my friend.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. All right, let's Let's pivot to something just a little tiny bit different than what we were talking about. I will get you updated on the Sean Parnell story out of Pennsylvania, too. We've been hitting a lot of heavy stuff here. But Joe Pinsker's got a piece in the Atlantic magazine. We live by a unit of time that doesn't make sense. Ooh, I'm intrigued. Days, months, and years all make sense as units of time. They match up at least roughly with the revolutions of Earth, the Moon, and the Sun. Weeks, however, are much weirder and clunkier. A duration of 7 days does not align with any natural cycles or fit cleanly into months or years. And though the week has been deeply significant to Jews and Christians and Muslims for centuries, people in many parts of the world happily make do without it or any other cycles of similar length until roughly 150 years ago. Now the 7-day week is a global standard, and it's come to dominate our sense of where we stand in the flow of time, according to David Henkin, who's a historian at UC Berkeley. He's got a brand new book out called The Week, A History of the Unnatural Rhythms That Made Us Who We Are, tracing the evolution and analyzes the curious staying power of what he lovingly refers to as a recalcitrant calendar unit. The week as we know it, a repeating cycle that has 7 distinct days and divides work from rest, has been around for about 2,000 years since ancient Roman times. The Roman week itself blended 2 separate precedents. One was the Jewish and later Christian Sabbath, which occupied every 7 days. The other was a rotation of 7 days tracked by timekeepers in the Mediterranean. Each day was associated with one of the 7 celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, and the 5 planets. The week has kept its shape since then, but Henkin argues that it's taken on new power in the past 200 years as it's become a tool for coordinating social and commercial plans with ever-widening circles of acquaintances and our perception of time and why it's survived, even in spite of efforts to tinker with it. So the question is, you know, you look at how it was that the idea of the week comes to be that measurement, like it is, right? Like he says in this interview with Pinskin, the week became far more important to people's ordinary lives beyond the question of whether it was Sunday, the day of rest or not. It became what it is in some ways the most stabilizing calendar unit that we have. When you think it's a Tuesday and it turns out to be a Wednesday, you feel disoriented in a way that you typically don't if it's the 26th, and if you think it's the 26th, then it turns out to be the 27th. That's the change. It's a real grip on time consciousness that the week exerts on us. If you were to single out one factor, you could say urbanization. This really is a social phenomenon. It's about people wanting to be able to make schedules with others, especially strangers, either in consumer context or socially. When most people lived on farms and small villages, they didn't need to coordinate many activities with folks whom they didn't see regularly. It's become much more today to know what day of the week it is. Today, a lot varies between one day of the week and the next. Entertainment schedules, violin lessons, custody arrangements, or any of the other millions of things that we attach to a 7-day cycle. So how did the change make this time feel different? Well, it's hard to prove, but I think, Henkin writes, when we're more attuned to the cycle because it's shorter than a month, it feels like time moves much more quickly. When our Mondays are different from our Tuesdays and our Wednesdays, it does kind of feel like all of a sudden, it's Monday again? You can see in 19th century diary entries, more and more often people describe this feeling by referring to how another week has come and gone. When it all started out, the goal was to tame the week, to have it make more sense. The week is the bizarre unit of time. It's the only one that doesn't fit neatly into the fraction of any larger unit, like everything else does, from seconds to centuries. One issue is that for businesses, it causes bookkeeping irregularities when you have a different number of weeks in a month, a quarter, or a year. The reforms were also sold as solving a broader problem, which is that saying today is Tuesday, November 16th, 2021, is technically a redundancy. There is no November 16th, 2021 that isn't also a Tuesday. And when people mix up weekdays and dates, they mistakenly schedule something for Wednesday, November 16th, which might not even exist in a given year. It can cause all kinds of confusion. So one of the reformers out there wanted to change things. The solution was to change the calendar so that November 16th is always a Tuesday. The most popular calendar reform proposal was for the year to consist of 364 days that always have the same weekday attached to them, then to have a couple of blank days at the end of the year that don't count as part of any seven-day week. What? What are those? Like blackout days. I don't know what we did. I can't account for it. That was just the extra time. It'd be like overtime, I guess, like overtime in a game. Reforms like these were heavily supported by business interests in the United States, as well as the scientific community. This was the period when the international dateline was established and when time zones were instituted. Reform movements were successful in getting governments to go along with Greenwich Mean Time. It just didn't work with the week. So religion is a lot of what has impacted why it is that we didn't ever standardize the dates and the days in the seven-day period to match up year after year after year. So the week has survived because it happens to be really well matched with things. And so we just put up with it. It's 7 days, and that's what we do. We train our brains to accept.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT. What band is that, TJ? Rainbow by request from TJ. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Rainbow. That's Rainbow. Yeah, I felt like America needed a rainbow today. I mean, we could have done Britney Fox, but I thought we should go with the rainbow. Actually, TJ picked it, but I'm good with that. Somebody who is... This is not so much over the rainbow. This is kind of bad. Pennsylvania Senate candidate Sean Parnell has suspended his campaign after losing a custody battle amidst abuse claims. Now, you've seen him on, I'm sure if you watch Fox News, you've seen him on as a, not a contributor, but as a guest from time to time. So this is the person that President Trump, former President Trump, was picking to run for this Senate seat. This is the Senate seat that Pat Toomey is going to be vacating. Senate candidate Sean Parnell suspended his campaign Monday, hours after a judge ruled against him in a custody battle that included allegations that he had physically and verbally abused his wife and kids. While Parnell denied those claims, the judge found his wife, Laurie Snell, to be more credible. Quote, "There's nothing more important to me than my children, and while I plan to ask the court to reconsider, I can't continue with the Senate campaign," Parnell said in a statement. "My focus now is 100% on my children. I want them to know that I do not have any other priorities and will never stop fighting for them." His decision capped a rapid collapse for a candidate once viewed as the GOP frontrunner in the Pennsylvania race, which is a nationally, you know, important race, to replace Republican Senator Pat Toomey. Parnell is a decorated Army veteran, received a Purple Heart after serving in Afghanistan, won an endorsement from former President Trump, but his campaign quickly unraveled after a rival questioned his personal conduct, and his wife, Laurie Snell, testified under oath that Parnell choked her, pinned her down, and called her a word I'm not going to say on the radio. Parnell's departure leaves a scrambled Republican field in one of the country's most critical Senate races, one of a handful of likely to decide the chamber's control. It comes as Republican insiders have raised concerns about the strength of their candidates and some other contenders, including celebrity Dr. Oz, hedge fund manager David McCormick. Those two are supposed to be are talking about potentially running. reopens the door for other candidates who hope to capitalize on their ties to Trump. I don't know who those would be, but certainly that's a big story. But Dr. Oz running. So you'd have Dr. Oz, and you would have Herschel Walker in that same race, obviously from different states, but the judge's ruling today came after emotional testimony earlier this month that for the first time publicly aired Snell's allegations of Parnell's abuse and uncontrolled anger. While Parnell, also under oath, denied Snell's claims, the judge, James Arner, concluded she was the more credible witness of the two and that Parnell had committed some acts of abuse in the past. Now, what's an interesting parallel is, remember the allegations against now Senator Warnock, who ran in Georgia. And remember, it was his ex-wife who had contended that the who had contended that he had been abusive to her. I think one of the allegations was that he ran over her foot. They were having an argument and the police got called and she was upset and she claimed he had run over her foot with the car. The judge added that he didn't weigh the abuse claims in his decision since he didn't believe Parnell had been abusive in the last 3.5 years, that both parents were equally capable of providing adequate physical safeguards and supervision of the children. Still, his written ruling undercut Parnell's denials that he gave Snell primary physical custody and sole legal custody of the couple's 3 children, ages 8 to 12. He allowed Parnell to have the children 3 weekends a month, a decision both painful to Parnell personally and devastating to his political aspirations. The parents now have split custody. So that's sort of the political component of this. And it's, to me, it's always very sad when it's sad when a marriage comes apart and there are children involved, there's custody issues involved there. It's incredibly sad when there are allegations of abuse. And the parents, if you're going to be in a high-profile Senate race, you have to understand that you're going to have a tremendous microscope that you're going to be put under. And to me, it's very sad that these children, 8 to 12, which are incredibly sensitive and important ages, I mean, I've raised my kids, my wife and I have raised our kids, you know what fragile people you can have on your hands between the ages of 8 and 12. And if there is abuse or allegations of abuse, that only compounds a tough situation like a divorce. And so, my central concern in all of this is not the politics. My central concern in all of this is the well-being of kids. You know, I mean, that's just really what it comes down to in terms of how it is that this has to get handled. And I think far too often people go for the political calculation and they don't do the family calculation. Or they go for the political calculation, but they don't do the what's best for my kids. You know, when you have kids, as so many of you know, you've had them, you've raised them, you have them now. You know, your desires have to go secondary to the well-being of the kids. I'm sorry, but they do. And if you want to run for public office, you've got to understand that you're going to be put under a microscope. Your family life is going to be put under a microscope, and those kids are going to be put under a microscope, whether they like it or not. And I think you have to make certain that that is a sacrifice, a cause that you want to pursue. And only you know what really goes on in a relationship. So I just think it's mostly I'm concerned about the kids. All right, that's going to do it for us. Coming up, we got Panther Talk. It's going to be a great show. I'm telling you, you're going to want to listen to it. And then start listening to Bo Thompson tomorrow morning. Follow us all day long. Thanks to TJ and Boomer and Josh and Anna. And, of course, Brett Jensen and Bo Thompson. I'm Brett Witterbull. Have a wonderful evening. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.